You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, the first day of the new trading week. And on the telephone now with the 5 o'clock shadow is Greg Davies, chief trader at Kratos Capital. Greg, I don't know, I'm just looking at this. I look at the sort of headlines now. JSE up around about 0.25%, really nothing much going on. The Rand more or less unchanged. Overseas stock markets down a little bit. The gold price down a little bit. It's very uninspiring, I would say.
Yeah, the market, we're looking forward to the Chinese GDP numbers we spoke about this morning. They were pretty poor. And so that sort of kind of set the tone. We did manage to get into positive territory by the end of the day, that mostly on resources. But again, a light volume day, no big dramatic stories to move the market in either direction. We're waiting for U.S. earnings season now. I think the banks are going to start to report, and that might set the scene for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I think Citigroup have already reported, actually, but we'll talk about that maybe tomorrow once all the results from this evening in the United States are out. Let's have a look at some of the spot prices now. I've got the dollar rand at 13.90, the British pound against the rand 17.40, and the euro rand 15.65, with the euro dollar 112.60, which is a euro that is just slightly weaker by around about 0.2%. If I go to the commodities prices, which have become a fascination for us, Greg, the gold price is down 5 at $1,411 an ounce. The platinum price is up 12 to $843, good news there. And the palladium price is $1,559, which is up $17 per ounce, with the oil price $67.16, 22 cents per barrel weaker. That's Brent crude in London. I've got a problem on my international screen. Can you give me the live prices, Dow Jones, NASDAQ, S&P, please?
Sure. I'll give you the Dow. We're actually up 4 points at the moment, I suppose. Still well into the 27,336 there. The FTSE's up about 40 points, looking a bit better. NASDAQ up 6, and the S&P should down just over 1.75 of a point. So also a little bit directionless that side. I suppose it looks like Citi profits beat estimates.
Yes.
Sort of the same gains on consumer lending. So maybe they copping Capitec or something.
Most of your shares on ShareNet today, Steinhoff down 10.4% and 31% of the top views. Libstar keeps on popping up. Someone's interested in Libstar. 8.99 up 3.3%, 14% of views. Sibanye, your favourite? Look at that.
That could have been me, yeah.
Yeah, 1.7% higher at 16.92. And Sasol, yeah, 326.90 down 0.1%. Let's go with Sibanye. This is your comfort zone. You're happy, right?
Yes, I mean, I suppose, like you were saying, it does feel like this gold run, it may be running a little bit of momentum. Obviously, Sibanye's got the platinum and the palladium element to it as well. It's done reasonably good volume again today. Made a couple of assaults at breaking above 17, finished the day at 16.92. 255 million rands with the shares trading hands. So that's irrespectable for it's a fairly large cap, a 45 billion market cap. Sibanye is obviously listed with ADRs in the US as well. So it's a lot of fun to trade. The headline on the front page of the Business Day today was 1.3 billion spent on advisors. Well, I mean, they mean obviously accountants. But wow, I mean, it's a lot of money.
What are they advising them on?
Yeah.
For 1.3 billion, I could have given them lots of advice for 1.3 million or even less.
Yeah, as Shakespeare would say, a tangled web we've weaved here. But in the market cap of the company is 5.5 billion right now.
Yeah.
Okay, at 129. 1.3 we spent getting someone to try and uncook the books. It's just amazing.
It's actually quite distasteful as well. I mean, I'm not a shareholder in Steinhoff and never have been. But I think if you are one, and there are lots and lots of people that are Steinhoff shareholders, by the very fact that it's always in that top four most viewed shares on sharenet.co.za, Greg, it just means that a lot of people must go to bed at night and think, I've been duped by these people, these criminals.
Yeah, and also now at this point, the share being so cheap and 10% moves of the norm, you do bring a lot of speculators into the stock. I was actually sort of contemplating something here. But normally, like in a top 40 share, if I wanted to trade CFDs, the good fellows at Peregrine would ask me for 10% of my money up front. It was like a deposit on a house, and then they'd loan the rest of the money to me on an overnight basis, and I'd be able to trade the shares. But in Steinhoff's case, they want 50%, which is probably the highest. I don't think there's another share with a higher margin. It's almost like buying a house in a bad neighborhood. The bank wants you to put down a big deposit in case something badly goes wrong with the house.
Very good analogy. Greg, let's have a look at some of the other stories of the day today. And if you would, actually give us the index closing prices before we get to the individual performances, please.
Yes, the bank's down 0.41, financials down a quarter, industrials down 0.84, retailers down 0.38. Gold Index managed to have a positive up 0.59, Platts up 1.25, resources up 0.55. So they managed to drag the all share, despite the bank's financials and so on being weaker, up 0.45, up 260 points, 57,537, turnover 12.18 billion. Is it December? I don't think so.
Yeah, but Greg, I mean, it is holiday time still. Aren't private schools still on holiday? Please tell me there's still holiday time.
No, the little brats are back at school from judging from the traffic.
Okay, ASOL on the upside was 7.77% higher. Transaction Capital up 4.2%. African Rainbow Minerals was 3.96% to the good. Kumba Iron Ore up nearly 4%, just below African Rainbow Minerals percentage move to the upside. And MTN up nearly 3%. On the downside, Aspen down 3.75%, threatening again to change its big figure from a three-figure share to a two-figure share. Vivo, forget about that. SoCo Sun down 3%. Barlow World down nearly 3%. And Pepkor, a 2.1% loser. ASOL, Kumba Iron Ore, African Rainbow Minerals. Interesting three. Is that all to do with iron ore? All to do with China? And if so, it's a slightly perverse story with China, because China's figures weren't that brilliant.
I think it's all an iron ore story, and as commodities all seem to really run together. Kumba, I think, had a big fall last week, recovering some of that. For me, the most interesting, just off the was probably MTN. That's got results the first week of August, which isn't too far off. And this morning, it was trading around 102, so it really had a very strong afternoon. Closed up at 106. I'm becoming a big fan of Rob Shuter, since he's been behind the wheel there at MTN. Share prices behaved a lot better, and I think he's probably going around talking to investors, roadshowing, giving a very good account of himself and the business. And I think the market's starting to warm to him.
Okay, so you're a fan of this one at what price? Just give us the recent history. It's substantially higher than it was after a couple of bad news items from Nigeria and also trading statements.
You know, it was trading around 112, it was about a year ago, and it went ex-dividend. I actually had a client that had a very, very position there, so I was watching it closely for them. And they said, we've made nice money here. If we can just get our dividend back, we'll close the position and we'll move on to the next trade. And, of course, that's when the second Nigerian wave hit MTN, and before you could blink, the share went down to 70 Rand. It managed to claw its way back and spent a lot of time in the mid-80s. But since Mr. Shuter's been there, they've resolved one or two of the issues with the Nigerian authorities. I think they've got one more sort of tax item the market seems to be telling us that's not going to be a big issue. And the share price has almost regained everything sort of pre the Nigerian situation. I think it was around 110, it's 106 now. But it's just trading a lot better.
Yeah, it really is. And if you look at the extreme low, which was maybe finger trouble or algorithmic trading, we're probably up around about 40, 50% from the lows.
Certainly. In those type of days, and we saw almost exactly the same thing happen with Aspen. When these algos are trading and they're trying to get in front of each other, when they're two or three competing, you do get share prices overshooting on the downside. Aspen, funny enough, was 140, had a bad miss in earnings. I went to left here, it was 112. I was just having a cup of tea down the road. I got a phone call. It's trading at 70 Rand. And that's these machines sometimes exaggerate these moves down. Probably more or less the same thing with MTN. But if one can hold one's nerve and pay one's margin calls, you often find these things are retraced quite nicely.
Okay. Anything else on the ups and the downs that really caught your eye, Greg, despite the fact there was only 12.1 billion trading today?
There's a couple of interesting cautionary announcements
Aspen,
today.
Just very quickly, sorry, Aspen.
Yeah.
Down nearly
4%. Yeah. I don't know, you know, because that almost the move from sort of just below 100 up to 105 was a head scratcher last week. There wasn't any news it was trading on, and now it's given all of that back. It's going to be interesting to see if it can hold that 100 Rand support.
Yeah, and you were talking about the cautionaries. The ones that I spoke to you about this morning were Zeta and Pioneer. Have you done any more work on those?
Well, I've got my best people sniffing around, but we can't really figure out the perhaps. I think you said if they were going to make an acquisition, you know, some people are talking about, you know, more agribusinesses that they can be bought up. You know, the thing is the share price didn't really react that positive. Pioneer Foods was up 1.5%. Zeta, oh, okay, that was all right. So at the end of the day, someone took some shares and closed it at 364, which is often a good idea. You sort of get a positive reinforcement loop, a cautionary followed by share price movement. But with half an hour to go, it just more or less flat for the day. And then Peregrine came out with a sort of interestingly worded cautionary announcement about just before 2 o'clock this afternoon as well. So maybe something happening in the financial services space, maybe some sort of consolidation there. Also got the feelers out, but I haven't got any feedback yet.
Probably the most disturbing thing that happened to me today was reading the front page of the telegraph.co.uk. And it says the following, if you can listen carefully to this. It was the greatest victory in the history of England's one-day team, but Owen Morgan's side should have fallen one run short in their dramatic World Cup run chase against New Zealand. One of the key moments in England's innings came off the third-to-last ball from Trent Bolt, when Ben Stokes accidentally deflected a throw from Martin Guptill to the boundary as he desperately tried to complete a second run. It meant England were awarded 6 runs in total, 2 for the runs completed by Stokes and his partner Adil Rashid, and 4 for the overthrow. But now it has emerged that England should have only been awarded 5 runs off that dramatic delivery from Bolt, because MCC, that's the Marylebone Cricket Club, rule 19-8, states that in the event of an overthrow, the runs scored are the allowance for the boundary and the runs completed by the batsman, together with the run in progress, if they had already crossed at the instant of the throw or act. Now, you can see why Americans don't play this game.
Yeah, you can see
they
why.
They didn't cross, Greg.
He hadn't, and I mean, and I remember talking to you, we were chatting live, and I said at 6, and you said, no, there's no way. Because you know Rule 19 very well.
I live by the MCC handbook.
Obviously, it's never always on your bedside table whenever I visit it. But it's one of those cricketing God stories, really. You know, it's something sort of happened with, you know, a couple of goals that Liverpool scored during the football season where it sort of bounced off the back of somebody's head type of goals. And every now and then, you know, God just steps in and decides to give England the win, which was much deserved, I thought. I was thrilled.
It's a clear mistake. It's an error of judgment, said former international umpire Simon Taufel in an interview with Fox Sports Australia. Well, Fox, I mean, come on now. In the heat
we'll
of what was going on.
We'll never hear the end of it from his Black Caps. Yeah, we'll never hear the end of this. Yeah.
Let the record show. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.